Let's turn in God's Word now to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And before we read God's Word, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise You for Your mercy towards us. As new every morning, Your faithfulness. Every evening, even now as we come before You, we are reminded of Your faithfulness to Your covenant. And so now teach us again that You are faithful. Teach us again that You're faithful in Christ, Your Son. That You are the great and good God who loves Your people. We pray that we would not rebel and reject You as Your covenant people, but rather that we would turn unto You in full faith and strengthened by Your Spirit. Help us and speak to us. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see Your Son Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen. Isaiah 5 verse 1, these are God's words. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard and a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem, men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. Those are God's words. This evening, continuing again, studying covenant theology and the sacraments as seals. The last three Lord's Days we have looked and been hearing about the sacraments that are primarily seals of the covenant of grace to Jesus Christ Himself as our mediator and as the God-man to support and encourage His faith unto the fulfilling of His duties unto our salvation, unto our benefits and blessings. And that the sacraments as well, we heard, are seals of the covenant of grace to believers. And we looked to the first two sacraments in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. Now circumcision and the Passover. And then last Lord's Day we began looking at the New Covenant, New Testament sacraments, the first being baptism. And so that as sacraments, we know that we've learned that they are seals that Christ has given to believers, true believers, to those who by faith, turning from their sins unto Jesus Christ for their salvation. Sacraments are seals to true believers only. Seals to true believers, guarantees to true believers only. Not merely those who profess faith, who receive those sacraments, who see the sacraments, who touch the sacraments, the elements of the sacraments, the water, and to this evening, the bread and the wine. But they are seals only to all true believers who are united to Christ, by which all true believers are established in the covenant really and completely, physically and spiritually, by divine appointment, as we've studied. So only those who are in the covenant by a true faith have a right to the sacramental seals. Everybody who's in the covenant by being part of the covenant people of God, receive those signs, receive those sacraments as signs, but they are only guaranteed. The promises communicated are only guaranteed as seals to all true believers. This evening, looking at the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is to true believers under the new covenant a sign, but not only a sign, also a seal of the covenant of grace. It was by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord's Supper, instituted to be a sign and seal of the new covenant, to show forth all those who are under the promises of the covenant of grace. And we know the passage, 1 Corinthians 11. He said, this cup is the New Testament, New Covenant, right? New Testament in my blood. And so, friends, all things necessary for this life and the life to come, Jesus has received by covenant and by His testament, His death, the shedding of His blood, like a will, like a last will and testament. He has bequeathed it all those promises to His spiritual seed, all those true believers in Him. And this as a seal of the Lord and the Lord's Supper, a guarantee that you will have all of it, not part of it, not some of it, not zero of it, but all of it. Everything necessary for this life and the life to come is shown forth and sealed, guaranteed to all true believers when we come to the Lord's Supper and partake of it. And yet we all are slow to believe. We all struggle in our faith. And so, like John says, I believe, but help my unbelief. We have guilt in our consciences, which causes doubts, which causes fears, and therefore the Lord instituted and appointed the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Praise God. As a grace of the covenant received by all those who believe in what is shown forth in the supper. As a visible sign and seal, those who believe are made all the more certain and firm that the covenant promises are theirs, both in this life and the life to come. And so the Lord's Supper confirms the faith of all true believers, specifically and firstly this evening. We'll look at around eight things this evening. First, the Lord's Supper is to true believers a sign and seal of the making of the covenant of grace, of Christ's incarnation, according to the covenant, of Him being the only begotten Son of the Father. That is, the taking of the bread set apart, signified the body, the human nature of Jesus Christ, being taken by the Father to be His body, Jesus' body, to be the representative and surety, the one who stands in the place of all His elect. He is the representative and surety, the representative and the one who stands in our place of the elect, right? Christ taking the place in His human nature of all who truly believe on Him by faith and turn from their sins. But this sacrament also shows forth and seals that Christ took on His human nature in union with the divine nature in the one divine person. Right? One divine person, two natures, God and man. Hebrews 10. It says, wherefore, when He cometh into the world, He saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when He said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadest pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said He, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that He may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Right, He took on a human body. Our catechism says, then it says, and a reasonable soul, right? Hebrews 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also, himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. And so then the taking of the cup in the supper, as it has been set apart, signifies the blood of Jesus shed for our sins. And the New Testament in His blood represents the Father's taking of His righteousness, or blood, in the place of His elect as abundantly sufficient to merit for them, true believers, all grace and glory promised in the covenant. Think of Isaiah 42. The Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Romans 3. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, one theologian says, and we heard this morning that we ought not to trust theologians, but you take that word that they say, or the church historians say, and you go back to the Scriptures and make sure it is true. But in application, one theologian says this, and we'll do this for every point. The believing communicant may thus say in himself, as certainly as I see the minister taking the bread, that sign of the body of Christ, so certain is it, there's the guarantee, the seal, so certain is it that the Father, in making the covenant with Him, Christ, took and admitted Him to be the representative and surety of all who should believe in Him. And that Christ Himself, in order to obey and suffer for them, took the human nature into a personal union with the divine, and as certainly as I now behold the minister taking the cup of wine, so certain may I be that the eternal Father took and held the righteousness of Jesus Christ as fully sufficient to merit for me all the grace and glory bequeathed in that in His testament. We'll learn more about that testament in a moment. But maybe that was helpful to you in thinking what we ought to think about when we come to the Lord's Supper and we have the bread taken. That's a sign of the body of Christ in His human nature. The blood shed in the cup, so that we know that the righteousness of Jesus Christ has been poured out, so it is fully sufficient to merit for me and for all who truly believe all the grace and glory that His covenant has promised. And all this sealed to true believers to confirm their faith in Christ and the benefits and blessings that are theirs in union with Him. Secondly, the supper is to true believers a seal, a guarantee, of the mediation and covenant headship of Jesus Christ. Mediation, that is, He's our mediator. Right? The seal of the mediation and covenant headship of Jesus Christ. Just as you hear in prayer, right before we partake of the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine are set apart as signs, symbols of Christ's body and blood. By the reading then of the words of institution, by the blessing and giving thanks for Christ's sacrifice and the sacrament given then to His people. Just as we hear that prayer, so guaranteed it is, sealed, that Christ in His human nature is that blessed seed of Abraham, in whom God blesses His people with all spiritual blessings, just as His sacrament is designed to do. Ephesians 1, verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love." And it continues. Right? And so then if you are a true believer partaking of the supper, then you can take that occasion to assure yourselves that the eternal Son of God was in the covenant set apart to the offices of a mediator. He was set apart to the offices of a mediator, and that is Christ's office then to bless you. That's His role as the mediator, to bless you with every covenantal bless every covenant blessing, spiritual and physical. And while we must be free receivers, it is Christ's office to be a gracious giver of all the blessings of that covenant. We looked at that before when we looked at Christ being diligent, the diligent dispenser of all the covenant blessings and benefits to His people as He administers the covenant. And these, you remember, we previously discussed then. And so then His sacrifice secured His giving all the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace to all those who truly believe. And that we see in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. Third, the supper is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace of the righteousness of faith, which is the fulfillment of the conditions of the covenant of grace. It is a sign and seal of the righteousness of faith, which is the fulfillment of the conditions of the covenant of grace. The breaking of the bread shows forth the breaking of Christ's body at His crucifixion and death, by which the union between His soul and His body was dissolved, and His body, as it were, broken for a time from His soul. The pouring out of the wine signifies the shedding of His blood, especially on the cross. Or like Isaiah 53 says, "Therefore will I divide Him a portion with the great, and He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because He hath poured out His soul unto death." The pouring out of His soul unto death, that as the finishing part of His righteousness for us, that merit that He has gained for us, by which the New Testament was ratified and the inheritance purchased for all true believers. And so that it is an actual seal to guarantee of the righteousness of faith. And so the theologian says again, "The believing communicant may within himself say, 'As certainly as I now see the bread broken and the wine poured out, the body of the Lord Jesus was broken and His blood was shed for the remission of my sins, I may now be certain that it, quote, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, to put Him to grief, and so to, quote, make His soul an offering for sin.'" All that found in Isaiah 53. All right, you can be assured that it pleased the Lord to bruise Him, to put Him to grief, and to make His soul an offering for sin. Because of Christ being the believer's mediator and covenant head, the true believer, in partaking of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, can be fully assured that Christ's righteousness for His people is completely fulfilled. And that there's no doubt, there's not one ounce of righteousness that remains that needs to be supplied by us, but it is all completely fulfilled by Christ Himself. So that all the benefits of the covenant of grace are merited to the believer and for the elect. And so there is further assurance there by the shedding of His blood that the New Testament is ratified, is official. And the blessings as an inheritance are purchased, that they are granted, and that they are sure. Isaiah 55, "Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." Fourth, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal to all true believers of the promises and the promised grace of the covenant of grace. It's a sign and seal, it's a seal to true believers, not only to true believers of the promises and the promised grace of the covenant of grace. And so when we think of the wine in the cup, the wine that is in the cup that we drink of, it's a sign and seal not only of just merely Christ's blood, which it is, but so too the New Testament in His blood. The New Testament in His blood. And for that reason, a sign and seal of those promises of the covenant which were to be performed to Christ's elect seed upon condition of the shedding of His blood, and which by dying His shed blood is that testament for their blessing. The promises of saving grace are promises in the covenant of grace, and there are no promises of saving grace outside of that gracious covenant. Think of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, when it speaks about the blood of Christ in His death, thereby sealing, guaranteeing, and bringing about the testament, fulfillment. It says there, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot, perfectly righteous, without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is," right, think here of last will and testament. Last will and testament, like we write out our wills when we die, that the whatever is written in our will, that inheritance, whatever we have, is given to the next generation, our sons, daughters, whatever it might be. Think of that here. "For this cause He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance," right? Like a will, there is an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. There's the promise of eternal inheritance. "For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator." That's Jesus. "For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth." Right? My wife and I have a will, a last will and testament. It means nothing right now until we both die. Right? It means nothing until we both die. That's what he's saying here. And so someone, Christ, must die. Whereupon neither the first testament, verse 18, was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." And often we hear that there, this is the blood of the covenant, right? And the covenant and testament are interchangeable here. Because this covenant, the covenant of grace, is meaningless until Christ dies. And then all the promises and the promised grace are sure to all true believers. Praise God. The Lord's Supper then, being a seal of the covenant, is a seal, a guarantee of the promises. And so when the true believer is communicating at the table, then we can come, like the theologian says, that we might say this: "As certain as I now behold the wine in the cup, signifying the New Testament in the blood of Jesus Christ, so certain may I be of the precious promises and of the inestimable blessings promised in the covenant, that I may well believe that the promises are sure and that the mercies promised are to all the spiritual seed of Christ." Sure mercies. They're sure mercies. "Now, in taking the sacramental cup, I may freely take the promises as my security for all the mercies of the covenant, and my faith in them may rise to full assurance. They are not only spoken and written and sworn and witnessed and ratified, but they are sealed, and that to me. Here I have all the grace and glory which were purchased and promised by my incarnate Redeemer, secured to me under His own seal, and that by His blood." All right? Then fifth, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a sign and seal of the covenant of grace. It's a sign and seal of Christ's administration of the covenant to sinners who believe. It is truly for them. And the administration of His covenant, whether it's through the preaching, the prayer, through the sacraments, it is a seal of Christ's administration of the covenant to sinners who believe. He administers the covenant promises to sinners who believe, in other words. The giving of the bread and the cup to professing believers at the table is a sign that Christ with His righteousness is given to them as freely offered to sinners. And that he has given them, not just offered, but in possession to all true believers. That is seal. It's guaranteed. To all who receive the supper as communicants, the command and invitation comes to take and eat the bread and drink the cup. And this represents the free offer and call of the gospel, directed to each of the ones who sit at the table, specifically, with his warrant to trust in Christ and his righteousness. Thus, it's a sensible sign. Sensible meaning it's to your senses, your taste, your feel, your touch. It's a sensible sign that the person of Christ is given to all communicants to be trusted in. The righteousness of Christ to be trusted on, and the fullness or benefits of Christ to be trusted for. The giving of external signs like the bread and the wine as signs shows forth the giving of Christ and His benefits in offer, freely offered, calling upon all the ones who participate in the sacrament, even those who are not participating in the sacrament. For those who are participating in the sacrament, it's calling upon all of us to confide in Christ alone for our salvation, to receive spiritual nourishment and more grace from Him. But the supper does not merely show this forth when we partake of it, but it's also a seal. This administration of the covenant of grace is a seal to all true believers and communicants. And so you might partake of the supper at the table, and it to you is only a sign, and yet which it condemns you because you don't believe, as we learned last Lord's Day in baptism. To those who receive baptism but do not truly believe, whether children or adults, it is greater judgment to you, as we've learned in John's Gospel and Hebrews and Isaiah and many other places we heard last Lord's Day. But for the true believer, it is sealed. That Christ administering it to you is to show forth that spiritual nourishment, even more grace to you. For all true believers may say this, when we're at the table, as certainly as these outward signs are now given to me, the body and blood of my incarnate Redeemer with all the benefits of redemption are given me in offer, like think of free offer, as a sinner in myself, and are given me in possession as a believer in Him. Right? We have it as a sinner given to us in an offer. It's freely offered to us where we possess it as a believer. The giving of the bread and wine, which are the consecrated signs of them to me, is the sure token that they are all exhibited, all offered to me, and that the authentic offer and call afford me a right to trust in the Lord Jesus for the possession of them all. Mark 14. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave to them and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many." Now they might have sat there. They might have sat there and heard Jesus say that. And yet, in partaking, they did not look to Christ in the bread, have His body sacrificed for them. In the cup of the wine, shed His blood, Christ shed blood for them. They didn't receive it as that, but they just partook. But for all who truly believe, it is possessed. Right? They possess all the promises therein. Then sixth, the supper is a sign and seal to all true believers of their union and communion with Jesus Christ. Union and communion with Christ. It is sealed. So you take the bread and the cup that shows forth their taking and accepting of Christ, who was made perfect through sufferings. Eating the bread, drinking the cup signifies their trusting on Christ and His righteousness for their salvation. And at the same time, their vital union and close communion with Him. Just as the bread and wine are taken in by the mouth into the body. They become so closely united to the body as to be incorporated with the body and converted into the substance of the body. And so that the body and blood of Christ, received by faith into the heart, become so intimately united to the true believer as to be one with Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." One spirit with Him. John 17, read it in Sabbath school this morning. "The glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that Thou hast sent me and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me." Jesus praying for us, even there in the garden before His death, about His love for us and His union with us. And the eating and drinking, we are nourished in our bodies. So as we meditate with humble confidence in Christ for all the promises of the covenant of grace, we are nourished in our spiritual lives and our souls. And so as we hunger and thirst after righteousness in the supper, First Peter 2, we taste that the Lord is gracious. We taste that the Lord is gracious. The body and blood of Jesus is sweet to us. The supper is a seal, a guarantee to all true believers of their union and communion with Jesus Christ. So that as one said, the communicant and believer may say, "As certainly as I eat of this bread and drink of this cup, I by faith partake of the body and blood of Christ Jesus my Lord with His inestimable benefits. As sure as I cordially attempt to believe that He is offered to me and heartily attempt to trust in Him for all His salvation, so is it and so will it be to me according to my faith." Matthew 9 says, "Then touched He their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you." As certainly as the bread and wine are converted into the substance of my body, so is Christ by His Spirit in me, and I by faith in Him. As sure as my body derives nourishment from the bread and wine received into it, so does my soul derive spiritual nourishment from the body and blood and fullness of my incarnate Redeemer in whom my heart trusteth. As certainly as the bread which I have eaten and the wine which I have drunk are now mine in possession, the body and blood and benefits of Jesus Christ, now that my heart has trusted in Him, are in like manner mine. As sure as my dear Savior hath now admitted me to eat of that broken bread, which is, quote, the communion of His body, end quote, and to drink of that, quote, cup of blessing, which is the communion of His blood, end quote, and hath enabled me in some degree to trust in Him, for all the benefit, for all the blessings purchased by His precious blood, so certain may I be that He admits me, according to the covenant, to communion with Himself in His person, righteousness, and fullness. Truly my fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I shall say of Him, surely in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, as it says in Psalm 63. That's the sixth thing. The seventh, the supper, is a sign and seal of union and communion with Christ's body, with all the other members of His body. And so focusing on our communion and union with one another in the church. 1 Corinthians 10, "For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." So the bread broken, the wine shed, poured of Christ's body broken for us all, as the bread from the grains are ground up to a flour, made into one lump. So we many believers, individuals, all brought by His sacrifice into one body with Christ as the head. For we are all partakers of that one bread, one loaf, which signifies Christ, the bread of life. John 6, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And so in communion with Him, we have union and communion with one another. We eat of the same bread. We drink of the same cup, showing forth that we derive all our spiritual nourishment from one common source. All of us, one common source, from Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And thus partaking from the same source, from the same loaf, from the same cup, so that the sacrament confirms our faith that we are all one in union with Christ. We are all one in union with Christ, as we are one with Him. That we may be assured and say, may say, assured, as certainly as I, in faith, eat of the same sacramental bread and drink of the same sacramental cup, I have, in union with Christ, my covenant head, union with all the other members of His mystical body. And I have, in communion with Him, in His body and blood, fellowship with them, who are all partakers of that one bread and that one cup, which signify His body and blood, and the blessings thereby purchased. This, in the hand of the Spirit of truth, assures me that, whilst I am in an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, I am also a fellow heir with saints and of the same body. It confirms me in the faith that I share with them in all the merit of the blood of Jesus Christ and all the legacies of His testament ratified by His death, that I and they are one body and have one spirit, quote, even as we are called in one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. And then finally, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is to all true believers a sign and seal of their dedication of themselves to God, their obligation to obey in faith and love all the commandments of His law. We are dedicated, and when we partake of that sacrament, we are sealed, we are guaranteed that we are dedicated to God unto an obligation to keep His whole law. And so it confirms and strengthens all true believers to serve the Lord in Christ as the one covenant people, and the high obligation which redeeming love has laid upon all of us who are true believers to love Christ and keep His commandments. 1 Corinthians 5, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In 1 John 5, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. And so what we heard today, we are to walk worthy, Ephesians 4, of our calling. We're to walk worthy. The love of Christ shown forth in this sacrament compels, constrains all true believers not to live for themselves, but unto Christ who died for them and rose from the dead. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. And so by partaking of the sacramental bread broken, the sacramental wine poured out, all true believers declare that they would deserve to have their own body broken in pieces, no less than the bread and the their own blood poured out, no less than that wine, if they should ever prove unfaithful to their solemn engagement to serve God and Redeemer Jesus Christ. And so, friends, in considering the Lord's Supper this evening, we've heard the sacrament of the Lord's Supper seals and guarantees to all true believers partaking of the supper that the covenant of grace is sure and firm by the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who is the only begotten Son of the Father, We're guaranteed in Christ that He is the mediator and covenant head of this covenant of grace. We are sealed and guaranteed that the conditions of the covenant of grace have been fulfilled in Christ's merit and perfect righteousness of faith in His body and His blood shed. That the sacrament seals, guarantees, and promises the promises of all to all true believers, all the benefits and blessings of the covenant of grace, that they are yours and Christ alone. It even guarantees Christ's administration, that He is the one administering the covenant of grace to sinners who believe truly. And this sacrament seals to all true believers the union and communion that we have with Christ and that we have with all true believers in the church, of which finally we learned just moments ago, the supper is a seal to all true believers of their obligations and duties of being in union with Christ to obey all His commandments with love and faith for Him, because they are given to us by the great mediator and the covenant head, Jesus Christ, who is the covenant head of the covenant of grace. And yet you should know, all of you here today, these great promises are certainly all freely offered to every one of you. They're offered to every single one of you who partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. They're offered to everyone who sees the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and who hears the preaching of God's Word. But they are only guaranteed to be yours, and yours if you come believing truly and honestly in Christ for your merit, for your righteousness before God, for your salvation from your sins. And so you're called to come unto Him today from your sins to Christ, who was broken for our sins in His body on the cursed tree, and whose blood was shed for the remission of our sins, poured out to wash us of all of our sins. And so you are to believe on Him. John 6. Jesus says to you, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews, therefore, strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day, all in fulfillment of the covenant of grace. You can have that if you trust in Him by faith. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Word this evening. We're thankful for the Lord's Supper that You've instituted and granted to Your people. We pray that You would grow us in faith, strengthen us. Any who are not in faith now, that You would turn them in their souls to You, that they would have Christ alone as their mediator, as their redeemer, as their Savior and Lord. And You would grant to them the great assurances that all true believers have, Your people have, of all the promises and the promised grace of the covenant of grace, all the benefits and blessings in this life and the life to come. We pray that You would assure all of us who are Your people of these things, that You would grant us a greater faith, a greater life, live for You, an obligation to love You and keep Your commandments. Make this true of each one of us here today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.